reading from Mark chapter 10. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all of these since my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." These are our sacred stories. Good morning. As I mentioned, this morning's sacred story is in all three Synoptic Gospels, and in each one it is situated just after children are brought to Jesus. In all three, the disciples want to send the children away, and in all three, Jesus orders the disciples to let them come to him. In Mark, for example, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, don't keep them away. God's kingdom belongs to people like them. What I'm about to tell you is true. Anyone who will not receive God's kingdom like a little child will never enter it." You see, in a surprise to no one who has read the Gospels, the disciples are just not getting it. Jesus keeps telling them that the kingdom of God turns the prevailing culture on its head, that the last will be first, that the kingdom belongs to little children, that the poor are blessed. And they just don't get it. So Jesus tries again when this man of means comes to Jesus and, as most English translations have it, asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Eternal life suggests to modern readers that this man is asking about going to heaven, but the Greek words are zoe, life, and aeon, the age, as in the age to come. The man is asking about Zoe Aeon, life in the age to come. He's asking about the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus does not ask the man what he believes, does not lead him down the Roman road plan of salvation, does not ask him to pray a prayer. Jesus asks the man about his loyalty. Jesus asks the man about what he does. "You know the commandments," Jesus says. "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." The man does know them and claims to have kept them all since his youth. And Jesus does not challenge the claim. Instead, he looks at him and loves him. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack only one thing. Go and sell all that you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." In the first century, the wealthy were all part of the ruling elite, part of what Paul referred to as the principalities and powers, part of what biblical scholars like Walter Wink, Marcus Borg, and Walter Brueggemann call the domination system. The richest 1 to 2% of the population. If, like the rich young ruler, you had many possessions, you were deeply immersed in this domination system, and you benefited from it. It made you even richer. Wealth was held and passed down in families. There was virtually no upward mobility. There were no rags-to-riches stories in the first century world. For one thing, there was no middle class. Wealthy men, mostly rulers, were a tiny percentage at the top. Then peasant farmers and artisans were way down the scale. And below them, at the very bottom, were the truly poor who lacked land and had no marketable skill. This class was full of widows and orphans. And it wasn't just about the money. The prevailing idea then was that if you had wealth, you had God's blessing. I'd like to suggest that we've gotten over this idea, but with so many reporting their safety after recent hurricanes with hashtag blessed, I'd say we are now more than ever convinced that we have God's favor when we are wealthy and safe. This is not the kingdom of God that Jesus describes. Jesus is turning the world upside down. Blessed are the poor, he shouts. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are the peacemakers. If you want to be great, Jesus says, then care for all. Go last in line. Stop it with all the power and wealth and apathy. Be like a child. In Mark chapter 9, one chapter prior to today's reading, we read, then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, Jesus asked them, what were you arguing about on the way? But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another over who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. This is radical. Children had no power, no status in the time of Jesus. They were considered lower even than women. They were thought of as worthless. In our lection today, Jesus calls the disciples children, but Jesus is not insulting them. He's turning the world upside down. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and asks, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God that is to come? Inherit. To inherit anything, you must be part of a family. Jesus describes the realm of God as a family, where prosperity is defined by sharing rather than by retained wealth and power. Where children and women, outcasts and wounded, poor and privileged are welcome. Where there's enough for everyone and love determines priorities. Consider the commandments Jesus asks the man about. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. These commandments are about community. Jesus doesn't ask him if he's taken the Lord's name in vain, doesn't ask if he's kept the Sabbath, doesn't ask about other gods. Jesus asks about the commandments that affect other people, the community. Jesus asks, in the face of the man's selfish question, what must I do to inherit? Jesus asks about community. The man asks about himself, And Jesus answers back, "You? All by yourself? With your wealth as your only companion? You can do nothing. This is a community thing. Your money will not save you. Your status will not save you. Your participation in the domination system will not save you. Salvation is about creating the kingdom of God here and now on earth, here among us. The realm of God flips everything on its head. It is only possible through community, only possible with divine love, only possible with sharing. Sharing must be more important than amassing wealth. We are living out this radical reordering right here and right now. Instead of hoarding our wealth, instead of focusing only on ourselves, we are sharing what we have, our resources, our time, our talent. We're making this community possible. Every dime needed to make our community work, to turn on the lights, to pay our employees, to send children to camp, to fill the coffee cups, to help to fund our mission partners, to march in the Pride Parade, every dime comes from you, from us. We do this together. And in so doing, we turn the world upside down. Alone, none of this is possible. Alone, we could never have this vibrant, progressive community of faith wherein we seek to love not only ourselves, but every neighbor, to see the divine in every face, to make a way where it seems impossible. After this service, look outside. Look at that building. We built that together. Our community turning the priorities of the domination system on their head through sharing and giving and loving. We did that. And we get to keep doing it. And this month, as we consider what we will pledge to the coming year's operating budget, we're inheriting the kingdom of God, the realm of love and welcome that we are helping to create together. None of this is possible alone. A camel cannot go through the eye of the needle. And don't give me some explanation about a supposed gate that was called the eye of the needle that a camel could go through if you removed its baggage and greased him up real good. No such gate existed. The disciples clearly don't know of any such gate. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." On our own, it is not possible. With only our wealth that we hoard, it is not possible. Through the domination systems of the world, it is not possible. Community. With each other and with divine love, community makes the impossible a reality. The realm of God is at hand. We create it with our sharing and with our love. We are part of it, here and now. Amen.